Yelston, we have a podcast.
Diving deep into all things Texas, both on and off the field. Here's Sean Pendergast. Welcome to Utopia.
Everybody, welcome in. It is Sunday morning, the Utopia Football Podcast, about 24 hours, a little less than 24 hours removed from the Texans' 17-15 win over the Rams in the final preseason game. So this will be the last podcast of the preseason schedule. We'll do a couple this week, and then obviously the schedule gets going on September the 8th, 2 weeks from today. So we'll have multiple episodes leading up to the season. We'll have a couple more mailbags before the season, and we'll do some fun stuff as well, maybe a couple interviews. We'll see what happens. But 2 weeks away, 2 weeks from today, the Texans will be in Indianapolis to take on the Colts. So that should be a whole lot of fun. As far as the game goes yesterday, I've got four winners and four losers from the game yesterday, and I'm going to take a crack at a 53-man roster. Now, keep in mind, this is a fluid situation we're in right now, so there are going to be cuts coming down. I would imagine starting today on Sunday, there will be some cuts that come down. I don't know that there will be any that come down that necessarily impact the fringe of the 53-man roster. At the end of the day, of the 90 guys that were on the Texan sideline yesterday, give or take, almost 80% of them are probably still going to be Texans in some shape, form, or capacity, whether they get put on injured reserve, whether they get cut or waived and brought back on the practice squad, or whether they make the 53-man roster. So I'm going to take a crack at it and know that by the time you're listening to this, maybe some things have happened that have impacted the 53 that I have, but we'll see how close I get. There's some tough cuts on this team, man. This is by far the deepest team that the Texans have had in the last few years, and probably since I started covering the team in 2014. Well, I've covered the team since 2007, but covering the team with the flagship Sports Radio 610 since 2014. It's a deep roster and very deep in certain spots on this team that are kind of exciting. So some good storylines going on with this team. So let's first a reminder to hit that subscribe button. Let me take a quick pull from the tumbler there. Hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Regular season's almost here. This is the easiest way to get the podcast. Hopefully you're enjoying the format I do. I try to keep it as tight and concise and light and informative and entertaining as possible. Bite-sized pieces of podcasts. You know what I mean? Like this podcast will be, I would say, 15 to 20 minutes max. Easy for a commute to listen to, get up to speed on everything going on. So hit that subscribe button, give us a rating, give us a review. That always helps as well. And a quick reminder too, the mailbag episode is on Tuesday. I think I'm going to record it after the 53-man roster is set at 3 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon. Normally I do it on Tuesday morning to drop Tuesday afternoon. I think I'll wait till later in the day so that I can share my thoughts on the 53-man roster. And I would imagine there's a lot of mailbag questions that, hey, is this guy going to make it? Is that guy going to make it? Why is this guy still on the team? Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to do a mailbag episode with those questions, and then it drops and the question's already answered. So I'm going to do that episode probably late in the day on Tuesday. So if you haven't sent me an email yet, just know that if you're sending me an email where it's, do you think so-and-so is going to make the team? You're going to find out in a minute who I think is going to make this team. So don't send me any questions about, do you think this guy is going to make it? If you have questions about the Indianapolis game, or if they've already made some decisions that we can react to, the Damian Pierce situation is a big one. There may be some resolution with that between now and roster cutdowns. He didn't play in this game on Saturday, which was mildly surprising to me, and yet not all that surprising. So, but just know that the questions that are not going to get answered for the mailbag are, do you think so-and-so is going to make the team? Because I'm not doing the mailbag till after the 53-man roster is done. We got it? We good? Cool. All right. So that's the email address is there. If you're streaming this on YouTube, at the bottom of the screen, it's houmailbag@gmail.com. All right, let's rapid fire these here real quick. Let's get to winners and losers from yesterday's win over the Rams. Texans 3-0 in the preseason, in my mind. I don't count that Bears game. That was a bonus game. That game belongs to Andre Johnson. Andre, you're the reason we had to go up there and lose a football game. You had to be so fucking good at football and get in the Hall of Fame. How could you? That game never ended. There was never a finish to it. You know, if it was wrestling, it would have been a double disqualification or something like that. So I don't count the Bears game. The Texans, in my mind, were 3-0 in the regular season. And it was good to see. Good to see all three layers of the roster have their way with the other opponents. I thought that was good. And I know even though the score, final score yesterday was close, there was never a game where I felt like the Texans weren't the better football team out there. So that was good to see. And it speaks more, again, about the depth than it does what's going to happen in Indy in week one. Anybody who matters to the Indy game in week one, they were wearing sweatsuits yesterday. But it's just nice to see that D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio have started to really, really build this thing. The foundation is a big key, but also the depth of the foundation too. And that's, I think, what some of these preseason games speak to as well. They got guys that are going to be probably practice squad guys or reserve guys that are really buying in to D'Amico's culture and the swarm mentality and things like that. I think we saw a lot of that in the game yesterday, and I think the Giants and Steelers games as well. Four winners, four losers. Let's do this. Let's start with the four winners. Number four, Cam Akers. I don't know why Cam Akers was still in the game in the fourth quarter yesterday, but Cam Akers, if they brought him in here, I don't know what more he could have done to make this football team. And especially if Damian Pierce makes it over Cam Akers, then I wonder why they brought Cam Akers in at all, unless it was to bring him in, show him off, and then flip him for a six-round pick. So again, something may happen with that situation between now and the time you're listening to this. So if it did, this is the caveat. But I don't know that Cam Akers could have done more to make this football team, both yesterday and throughout training camp. He's looked good in practice. He's looked good in the games. He's made plays when plays had not been there to be made. He's looked better than Damian Pierce. Cam Akers, you're going to be playing football for somebody this year, my friend. And so I think he's a winner from yesterday. Seven carries for 53 yards. Three very noteworthy plays, I thought, that you don't even need to look at the box score. The one play where he, just like he did last week, he went one way. It's all cluttered. So then he runs to daylight the other way. He had a run for 23 yards where he finished a dude at the end of that, where he just plowed a guy over, a DB over at the end of that play. And then he had the other catch, kind of that little angle route where he made a guy miss and then he spun three times. That was really cool. I just liked it. It was a cool play. So Cam Akers, you are winner number four. Number three, Neville Hewitt. He was flying all over the place yesterday. I'm assuming that anybody that played in the game yesterday was not 100% to make this football team. If you were 100% to make this football team, you were in sweatsuits or injured. If you were playing yesterday, then you had at least a little something to prove, or the team was fine with you playing and the possibility of you getting injured. I think the fact that anybody playing in that game yesterday, the Texans were clearly okay with the possibility of them getting hurt. So Neville Hewitt was probably not 100% on this team. Linebacker is going to be a key position, especially early in the season if Christian Harris is still out with whatever his injury is. Neville Hewitt was all over the place yesterday, man. Sideline to sideline, making big hits, and we know how big he is on special teams for this team. Neville Hewitt, you earned a spot on the 53-man roster yesterday, my friend. Number two, this is a winner at the linebacker position by not doing anything. Henry Toa, star on this team, has risen, man. Let me double check and just make sure old 39 wasn't out there yesterday, but I don't think he was. I've got the list right here from the team. Let's see. Henry did not play. Nope, 39. Toa did not play. Okay, good. Henry Toa was a guy who looked promising in last year's camp, and then the regular season started and he looked a little overwhelmed as an NFL player, certainly as a linebacker. And he came back in this year and he does look like a better football player. I don't know that he looks like a better football player to the extent that he shouldn't have been playing yesterday. And maybe this has something to do. Maybe this is a tell on exactly how injured Christian Harris is, that they didn't want to put Toa out there, who's kind of, you know, sort of next in line. I would imagine they're going to be playing a lot of formations with just two linebackers this year. You know, nickel is the new base, as they say. So I'd imagine we're going to see a lot of Jalen Petrie in the slot and a lot of two linebackers. And if it's two linebackers, it's going to be for sure Azeez Al-Shaair at one of those spots. And as of right now, probably Henry Toa until Christian Harris gets healthy. So he's a winner for me just because his star has risen to the point where he's, you know, standing next to CJ Stroud on the sideline at the Hall of Fame game and the third preseason game. So good for Henry Toa, key guy on special teams as well. Winner number one, John Metchie. And again, if you're playing in that game yesterday, then the team clearly has to be okay with the possibility that something could happen to you. So that tells me that John Metchie hadn't fully made the team as of yesterday. He only had two catches, but you could see on one of the catches, I mean, he had an Alabama type move on a guy, you know, like just next level spin move. Guy went flailing for air. You guys know the play I'm talking about if you watch the game. The other thing was John Metchie was wide open on a seam route that Case Keenum almost threw an interception on. I don't know where Case was throwing it on that play. Case wasn't great yesterday. Tim Boyle had bigger numbers, but it's because he was in for longer. Tim Boyle's not good. But John Metchie, like if CJ Stroud is the quarterback, John Metchie probably walks into the end zone with a 60-yard touchdown. So Metchie made this team. I think Metchie had made the team before that, but again, he's playing in that game yesterday, so it's not 100%. John Metchie, number one winner, especially when you consider the fact that we all had him cut 2.5 weeks ago. He was done. Remember after he had the first two preseason games where he didn't do anything? And then he had the breakout game against the Giants. He's had two really good weeks of practice. He had a nice catch in the practice, not in the joint practice, but on Wednesday. He and Xavier Hutchinson both really nice catches in back-to-back drills in 11-on-11 with Davis Mills as their quarterback. So John Metchie, number one winner. Four losers. Number four, Tim Boyle. Sorry, you're not going to be a Houston Texan this year, buddy. It's okay. There will be plenty of other NFL teams that are looking to pick up a guy who's got a, you know, 1-to-14 touchdown to interception ratio. The league is full of teams, especially as the season goes on, needing quarterbacks. And Lord knows there's plenty of teams that really don't care about winning in December that might start you. You know, maybe even a playoff team. The Browns started Jeff Driscoll in a late season game last year because they didn't need it. So, but Tim Boyle, you're just not good enough to be a Houston Texan. You got a big, strong arm. Unfortunately, you can't complete a simple slant route, which is really strange. So I know 19-of-28, and he had a bunch of yards, and he got into the end zone. Johnny Johnson got into the end zone with a touchdown, blah, blah, blah. This is Case Keenum country, pal. And we protect our third-string quarterback turf like aliens are invading, okay? So, Tim Boyle, sorry. You are number four loser, but you will have a job in the NFL at some point because every person with a working right arm who's played quarterback ends up back in the league at some point. Number three is just, it's not Dameon Pierce, but it's the whole Dameon Pierce situation. I just don't like it. I don't like the fact that he didn't play yesterday because it means one of two things. It means he's either a made guy and made this team, and he does not deserve to have made this team based on his performance in camp last season. I hate even saying these things because I love Dameon Pierce, but facts are facts and eyeballs are eyeballs, man. And it doesn't take an educated set of eyeballs to see that Dameon Pierce just is not one of the four best running backs on this team during this preseason. So it hurts because it either means that the team has a blind spot for Dameon, or it hurts because it means they're going to trade Dameon Pierce and I hate to see him go. It's very weird. I don't think he deserves to be on the 53-man roster. And yet, I do definitely think there's a spot in the NFL for him, probably, you know, maybe with a good team getting 10 or 12 touches a game. I think this is just a bad fit for Dameon Pierce, and I think he's thinking about it. I think Dameon Pierce almost cares too much. You know what I mean? Like, he cares so deeply, I think it's in his head at this point. So so it's just a bad situation to me all the way around. Because if they keep him, I'm going to start getting mad at D'Amico and Nick about it. And I'm going to start getting mad at Dameon about it. And he didn't do anything other than just not play football very well. He didn't do anything. So for number three, I think it's just like we're all losers. Anybody that loves Dameon Pierce is a loser in this situation right now. I just think the whole situation is just uncomfortable. Now, by the time you listen to this, maybe he's traded for a 6th-round pick somewhere. And again, that would be very sad. That would not be a winning situation for me. But it's the best of some just suboptimal solutions. If Dameon was busting things out for 5 yards a carry right now, we wouldn't be having this conversation. We'd be talking about Mixon and Pierce and what's the split on the carries. And then we'd be talking about, now you got Cam Akers also. Oh, my God, this backfield's so deep. I'm nervous Cam's not going to make the team because they're keeping Dameon right now. So just all of us are losers in that situation. All right, number two, Dez King. Dude, there is a spot to be had on this team as a return specialist right now. I know they're working Steven Sims through here, and I think ultimately Tank Dell is going to touch the ball in the return game some. They're just kind of keeping that on the back burner in the preseason. We saw him do it in the Pittsburgh game, and he set up a touchdown with a big return. But Dez King, man, like you're a vet. Fair catch that bad boy. I think that's a guy – you can tell that's a guy that's pressing, trying to make the team, trying to make a play. As you guys know what I'm talking about, the muffed punt in the first half of that game that set the Rams up for their first score for a field goal. You just can't do that. And this team's cut Dez King at cut down time before they did it last year. So they ain't afraid to cut Dez King. And now that Jalen Petrie is playing a lot of slot corner, it's really jeopardized King's role there. So I just don't know that there's a spot for him on this team, especially if there's issues in the return game. Can't be muffing punts deep in your own territory, man. Number one loser yesterday, Troy Hairston, fullback. Again, another position where it is open right now. Andrew Beck has been hurt all of training camp. They're mixing and matching Cade Stover in there and Brevin Jordan in there. They bring in Nick Bawden, who's sitting on the street, just probably making TikTok videos with his wife. And so the fullback position is there to be won. And Troy Hairston had four holding penalties yesterday. I think one of them was on special teams, but who gives a shit? Four holding penalties in the same – four holding penalties in a preseason game, bro. You're holding guys that are going to be working at Walmart next week. And you might be working at Walmart next week now because of it. So four holding penalties. He whiffed on another block. Just, I mean, he just can't be trusted as a foot. Can you trust Troy Hairston as a fullback when you got CJ Stroud? What if there's a play where Troy Hairston has to pick up a blitz or something like that? You trust Troy Hairston to do that right now? Hell no. So that sucks because he seems like a great kid as well. But man, four holding penalties in your final audition to get on the team. Dude, on principle, I can't put you on. I can't even put you on the practice squad. Sorry. Luckily, it's not my choice. It's Nick and D'Amico deciding these things. I have trouble deciding what I want for brunch later on this morning. All right. Now, with that said, I just made a 53-man roster right here. I took out a pen, I took out a piece of paper, and I jotted it down. And the way I go through this is I put down the guys at each position that I think are locks to make the team. And then I kind of – usually there's like five or six spots left over after that. And that's when I fill in the final six spots. So I don't go position by position. You know, like I go position by position with the locks, and then I've got a bunch, you know, 10 or 12 guys on the bubble, and then I go through it. And I imagine that's how NFL teams do it. They know what most of their roster is going to look like even before the final preseason game. Nick said that on McAfee this week. Nick was on with McAfee this week on Thursday or Friday. It was Thursday. It was the day of the joint practice. And he said there's really only five or six spots that are in question right now. So, with that in mind, here is the Sean Pendergast 53-man roster. Let me first say a couple of things. One, I don't know if a lot of you know this. There's a new rule where the team can put two players on IR, and they can put anybody they want to on IR in the preseason. Before, if you put somebody on the IR in the preseason, then they can't come back during the year. They're done for the year. Now, and I checked this with Texans Cap, who is my go-to on anything having to do with roster and cap and contracts. He's the best at Texans Cap on Twitter. He's got a Substack, and he's on Instagram as well. He's great. Troy's the best. So I checked with him this morning. They can now, if you put guys on IR in the preseason, there are two that you can put the designation to return on, like the first 24 hours after the rosters are done. So it's almost like two free roster spots. So for purposes of this exercise, I made Andrew Beck and Noah Brown, I put them on IR with the designation that they can return. So they're not going to be on my 53, but they will be on IR with the designation to return. So they could possibly come back. I think they want a fullback. We know that. And I think they want Noah Brown on this team. But they've both been so banged up in the preseason, and you got to make a decision in the next two or three days. So I'm doing this not knowing, admittedly, like this is what I have the least information on, how they are medically. I know Christian Harris is another one who's been banged up all at training camp. I just think if Christian Harris is able, so Christian Harris might be one of these guys too, that they IR. And so in that case, I would be wrong on this and they'd have to make a decision on either Beck or Brown. But I'm doing, for purposes of this exercise, I'm making Noah Brown and Andrew Beck IR designated to come back. Okay. And I think Harris, I'm going to put on the 53, because if you go on IR, you can't come back for 4 weeks. So if there's any chance that Christian Harris can play in weeks one through four, I think you have to have him on the 53. He's just that important. So I have him on the 53. So here's my 53. Here we go. I've got three quarterbacks, Stroud, Mills, Keenum. And I know there's a rule where you can put Case on the practice squad and you can bring him up as the emergency quarterback every single week. There's so many new wrinkles and rules. I don't want to bog you guys down in that. I just think they're going to put him on the 53. I think Case is a veteran enough quarterback to where if he's on your practice squad and some team needs a quarterback, they might snag him. So put him on the 53. Then he's doing all the 53-man things. He's around CJ all the time. He's like another coach out there. So I just went ahead and put him on the 53. Plus the 53 pays a lot more than the practice squad. And I don't think you want to do Case the disrespect of putting him, you know, like in my tax bracket. I think he likes the tax bracket that he's in, you know? So, so that's three quarterbacks. I've got four running backs on the team. Joe Mixon, Dari Gumawale. I've got Damian Pierce right now. Until otherwise notified, I've got Damian Pierce on this roster, for better or worse. And I put Cam Akers on there too. I don't know anything else Cam Akers could have done more to earn a roster spot on this team. So I've got him making the team as the fourth running back, which means there's some tough cuts in that room, which we'll get to at the end. I don't have a fullback on this team right now since I put Beck on IR designated to return. I think they're just going to try to muck it together with putting Brevin Jordan and Cade Stover back there in certain situations, and that in I formation when they got short yardage situations, they're just going to have to go, okay, we got a tight end. I think Stover got the mentality to do it, you know, and the problem with Stover is he's still learning how to play tight end, period, let alone mixing in fullback responsibilities. But I think they're going to try to muck their way through it. Maybe there's an outside chance they keep this Nick Bawden character as a fullback. I don't think they're keeping Troy Hairston, as I just said. I don't think you can keep Troy Hairston after that performance. I don't want to beat a dead horse. So I have no fullback on this team as of right now. I think they're going to hybrid their way through that. Wide receiver, Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, Nico Collins, John Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson. I've got Robert Woods making this team, in part because Noah Brown is on IR, or will be. In my world, he's on IR. I predict he will be. And I've got Steven Sims making it as the sixth and a half receiver. I think that's ultimately going to be the guy that's returning kicks for this team, and certainly returning punts for this team. And who knows, maybe getting used. He ran a 38-yard end around in the game yesterday. So I've got Steven Sims making the team as sort of a seventh receiver slash kick return specialist. Tight end is easy. There's three of them: Schultz, Stover, and Brevin Jordan. I don't have Teagan Quatoriano making the team. Sorry, pal. You're just hurt way too much. Offensive line, I've got nine of them. I've got the starting five: LT, Kenyon, Juice, Shaq, Titus. I've got Blake Fisher making the team and Jared Patterson making the team as backups. Kendrick Green as well as an interior. And then I've got Cam Irving making this team as well. They brought him in. He's a vet. He plays tackle. He plays guard. Experienced guy. So you got Fisher, who's sort of the young guy, who's your swing tackle, but you got Irving there as sort of a backup insurance policy. And there's a couple cuts there. Like Charlie Heck, just, you know, I think Charlie Heck might wind up on IR and just stay in the building for the year, that kind of thing. Which, you know, that stinks. He's been around a while now, and he's played some swing tackle for this team, but that's the nine. So I've got nine offensive linemen making the team. So that's a total, I believe, of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Plus 7 is 14, plus, let's see, 15, 16, 17, plus 9 offense. So I have 26 guys on the offensive side. Let's get specialists out of the way. That's easy. That's three. That's Townsend at punter, Weeks at long snapper, Kymie Fairbairn kicker. So we're up to 29 guys. So I've got room for 24 guys on the defensive side of the football. Who will they be? Let's find out. Defensive line, I've got Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson Jr., Derek Barnett, Jerry Hughes, Foley Fatakasi, Mario Edwards, Khalil Davis, and Kurt Heinisch. Kurt Heinisch was in street clothes yesterday. So I've got eight defensive linemen right now. I think that they could add, I could see them adding a ninth. That's a position where I could see them hanging on to somebody. Allie Gay was a really tough cut for me because they've been taking a good hard look at him, and there's some physical tools there. I could very easily see them opting for Allie Gay instead of a seventh wide receiver. Right, that's where the competition is at this stage. It's not Allie Gay versus Kurt Heinisch. It's Allie Gay versus Steven Sims, you know, for a back end of the roster. But those, I've got eight defensive linemen. So we're down to 16 more spots to fill. Linebacker, corner, safety. Let's do this quickly. I got to get to brunch. Linebacker, Azeez Alshire, Christian Harris, Henry Toa, Neville Hewitt, Jake Hansen, and Delshon Phillips. These guys are all going to need to be on their toes if Christian Harris is still hurt. There's a chance all these guys see some playing time at linebacker. Hansen's had a really good camp, as has Hewitt. Toa Toa's really made a leap. I'm not super comfortable with this position, but these are guys who have had good camps, and in the case of Toa Toa, he's at least ascending. So, and Azeez Alshire, I think, has a chance to be a Pro Bowler this year. There is that. So six linebackers. So I got 10 guys in the secondary. Here we go. Cornerback, Derek Stingley Jr., Kamari Lassiter, Miles Bryant, C.J. Henderson, and I put Mike Ford in there. Had a good game yesterday. He's had some up-and-down moments at camp. It's not a deep cornerback room. This is a position group that I could see whoever makes it. Don't get too comfortable because they're going to be looking at the waiver wire for guys. I think cornerback is one of those positions. I got Ford in there right now. It wouldn't shock me if he makes the 53 and then he's gone by the next day because they find something better out there. Safety, Petrie, who's really kind of a nickel corner. He's sort of corner safety hybrid, but safety, I got Petrie, Jimmy Ward, Kalen Bullock, Eric Murray, MJ Stewart. That's one of the easiest position groups to fill. It's those five guys, and then I don't think there's really any other question marks at safety. Toughest cuts for me, Allie Gay, Jawar Jordan, British Brooks, Ben Skoranek. Those are the toughest cuts in this process for me. So there you go. Those are my 53. And just as I noticed, I forgot to flip it to four losers. I forgot to flip it to the 50. God. And this is after I talked to Anthony. Hey, man, you got the graphics for me where I can put 53-man roster? But God, I'm the worst. Sorry about that, Anthony. You had great graphics all made for me, and I didn't even use them. Just said four winners at the bottom the whole time. I suck. God. Ha! Step your game up. Cool graphic in the background, though, right? The Texans graphic. All right, I got to get out of here. This went longer than I thought it would. I told you guys I'd give this to you in bite-sized pieces, and I'm 5 minutes over what I promised you. So let's get out of here. Go have a great Sunday. I'll have a mailbag for you on Tuesday after roster cuts. Have a great weekend, everybody. Appreciate you. Thanks for listening to the Utopia Football Podcast.